The help desk is the new perimeter defending cloud identity against social engineering. The most effective attacks against cloud environments in recent years did not exploit a software flaw. They exploited a support agent. Here is how identity-centric social engineering works against AWS and how to close the gap between your IDP and your cloud. The breaches that have caused the most damage to cloud-native organizations recently share an uncomfortable trait. There was no exploit, no unpatched CVE, no zero-day, no clever payload. Instead, there was a phone call. An attacker contacted a help desk, impersonated an employee convincingly enough to have a multi-factor device reset, and walked in through the front door holding valid credentials. From there, the identity provider became a launchpad into the cloud. This pattern has become the defining threat to well-funded, technically mature companies because it routes around almost everything they invested in. Endpoint detection, network segmentation, and vulnerability management are all bypassed when the attacker simply becomes a legitimate user. For anyone defending an AWS environment, the lesson is that identity, not the network, is the perimeter now, and the weakest point in identity is often a human being under time pressure trying to be helpful. Yaesuk diagram, the social engineering to cloud attack chain, with a detection point marked why this vector beats mature defenses. It uses your own trust against you. A help desk exists to restore access for people who have legitimately lost it. That mission is fundamentally in tension with security, because the fastest way to help a stranded employee is also the fastest way to help an impersonator. Attackers study this tension and exploit it, often with detailed personal information gathered beforehand and a sense of urgency manufactured on the call. The agent is not incompetent. The agent is doing their job, and the job as designed is exploitable. Multi-factor authentication does not help if the attacker registers the factor. Organizations that congratulate themselves on universal MFA coverage are often protecting the login while leaving the enrollment wide open. If an attacker can convince support to reset or re-register a factor, they now hold the second factor themselves, and MFA becomes a lock whose key was just handed over. The security of MFA is only as strong as the process that governs who is allowed to change it. The identity provider is a single point of leverage over the whole cloud. In a federated environment, a compromised IDP account does not grant access to one system. It grants access to everything that trusts the IDP, and in a modern AWS estate, that means federated console access, role assumption across accounts, and any application wired into single sign-on. The blast radius of one hijacked identity is the entire trust domain. How the cloud gets reached? Federation turns an IDP session into AWS credentials. Once the attacker holds a valid IDP session, single sign-on into AWS is designed to be frictionless, which is exactly the property the attacker needs. The federated session maps to one or more roles, and those roles carry real permissions. Nothing about this step looks anomalous in isolation, because it is the same path a real employee uses every morning. Role assumption is the pivot. From an initial federated identity, the attacker looks for roles they can assume that carry broader permissions, chaining from a modest starting point toward administrative reach. This is where reconnaissance in the cloud begins, enumerating what the compromised identity can do and what it can become. The activity is quiet because every action is technically authorized. Persistence is established through legitimate features. Rather than dropping malware, a capable intruder in a cloud environment establishes durability using the platform's own mechanisms, creating access keys, adding a federated identity provider they control, or registering a new principal. These blend into normal administrative noise and survive the eventual password reset that a defender assumes will evict them. Closing the enrollment gap, treat identity proofing as a security control, not a courtesy. The single highest leverage change is to make the process of resetting or re-registering an authentication factor genuinely hard to social engineer. That means verification that does not rely on information an attacker can research, escalation paths for high privilege accounts, and a deliberate refusal to let urgency shortcut the process. The help desk needs explicit authority to say no, and the training to recognize when to use it. Adopt phishing-resistant authentication. Factors bound to hardware, such as security keys and passkeys, built on modern authentication standards, defeat the entire category of attacks that depend on relaying or re-registering a code. They cannot be read aloud, forwarded, or entered on a lookalike page. Moving privileged identities to phishing-resistant factors removes the specific weakness these campaigns rely on. Separate the identities that matter. Administrative and high privilege access should not share an enrollment path, a device, or a recovery flow with everyday accounts. When the accounts that can do the most damage are governed by the strictest and least convenient controls, the cost of compromising them rises sharply and convenience remains available where the stakes are lower. Detecting the attack in AWS, watch the identity events. Because the exploits are absent, since every stage uses legitimate features, detection has to focus on the mechanics of identity change and unusual federation rather than on signatures. The two richest signals are changes to authentication factors and federated logins that do not fit an established pattern. Alert on MFA device and credential changes, registration of a new authentication device, creation of a new access key, or addition of a federated identity provider are all events worth surfacing immediately for privilege principles. An event bridge rule over the relevant management events gives you minutes, not days, of warning. Correlate federated logins against a baseline. A federated session originating from a new geography, an unfamiliar network, or at an implausible time relative to the same user's prior activity is the closest thing to a smoking gun this attack produces. A lightweight enrichment step over sign-in and role assumption records flags the sessions worth a human look. Hunt for the persistence, not just the entry. After any suspected identity compromise, the eviction step must include a sweep for the durable footholds this actor favors. Newly created access keys, unfamiliar federated identity providers, and freshly minted principals. Resetting the password without removing these leaves the door propped open behind the defender. The takeaway: the organizations getting hurt by identity social engineering are not the ones with weak technology. They are frequently the ones with excellent technology and an underexamined human process bolted onto the side of it. The attack succeeds precisely because it avoids the parts of the stack that receive the most investment and targets the part that receives the least. Closing the gap does not require a new product category. It requires treating the help desk as a security critical control point, moving privileged identities onto factors that cannot be talked out of someone's hands, and instrumenting the identity events that these campaigns cannot avoid generating. The perimeter moved to identity years ago. The defenses have to move with it. Cloud Defender continuously watches the AWS identity events these campaigns depend on, from MFA and credential changes to anomalous federated role assumption, and surfaces the persistence footholds an attacker leaves behind. So a hijacked identity is caught in minutes rather than discovered in the breach report.